Perfect. Nailed it.
I love her.
Nailed it. What the fuck are you doing exactly?
Jazz hands. No, those are spirit fingers. Those are spirit
fingers.
Are
we like touching?
Jazz hands. Jazz
what
hands.
Are we doing?
These are jazz hands. Those are spirit fingers. Jazz hands?
Jazz hands? Spirit fingers. What was that from again?
I don't know.
It's from Bring It On.
I don't. All I know is so. Jazz hands is from Archer. Jazz hands. And, Krieger or not Krieger?
Yeah, Krieger. Yeah.
Is it Krieger? Does it jazz hands? Or it was
oh
the
yeah,
guy, so,
it is.
The or that of the gay guy, who can never remember his name. But welcome all. This is a shit show. Ken and I have both had the plague.
How dare you?
And we are Murder Moose, and we're part of the Slash and Cast podcast network.
It's in the game.
Okay, you didn't say the whole thing. What's the rest of it, Ken?
And it's in my ass.
There you go. There you go.
There we go. Sorry, I forgot. Blame it on being sick.
Fucking
as Rod dies in front of God and everybody.
I mean, if I didn't die while recording some kind of content, is it even a death? Is it even a death?
Is it even content?
Is it even content? And we've brought...
I need to do this on screen, okay? I need the numbers. Things are slacking.
I never got Twitch partner. If I die on stream, I will get Twitch partner, motherfuckers. I will get Twitch partner.
I've decided I'd like to start some fake drama so that I can get some good publicity. Hey, Rod, you know what the fuck you did?
I know.
You existed, and I'm so glad you do.
Aw, and you exist, and I'm so glad you do. Ken is one of my favorite people in the world. And this young looking man that is below me and Ken.
Holy shit. If you're not watching the YouTube video, you need to go see this gentleman because holy fuck.
Brian is a good looking man who slings the dick with the best of them and is one of my
Jesus
oldest.
Christ. This is the greatest intro I've ever had.
What else do you expect?
We're going to audio sample that, and that's actually how I'm going to play that every time I walk into any room.
it's like you're glass shattering for Stone Cold, but it's like the greatest dick slinger of all time.
It's the sound of a fucking just meaty cock just going.
If it's not meaty and not veiny, I don't want any part of it.
You would know.
I would know.
Giant penis. Hey, my cat's up here.
It's meaty, and Ken's got a very feisty pussy. I mean,
I do. I have a very feisty pussy, and I have a very fat, lazy pussy. So take your choosing.
Jesus Christ.
Rod, are you going to make it? Do you need to take over hosting duties?
You can take over when I die.
Prepared to do that. Soon.
Because I am, dude, I didn't go to work today. And that would have been working from my own house today, but I'm here and I'm alive. I don't know how alive I am. The space otter powers me. It powers me.
It pops so nice. I was gonna say something about it earlier because, like, every time you bring your arm up, I'm like, space otter.
I love it. It's so awesome.
I still need to figure out what to do with the rest of my tattoo, and I can't get a tattoo for the first time in months now because I had to register my car on Friday, and that cost $750.
I know, it's gross.
And you can, like, take the lube out of my asshole because, holy shit, I was just like, no.
It's okay. The IRS took their quarterly taxes from me today, so.
Ouch.
You gotta love it. Ken, did you tell them you're working for a Canadian company? That's what
Oh, for fuck's sake. God.
Oh my God.
If you ever drive to the border in Canada and you're like, like they ask you about what you do and you tell them that you're still going to work, which is a newer thing, like, because before you couldn't work while you were in Canada. Don't ever tell them that there's a possibility that you might work with an indie game developer from Canada, because apparently that means that you're stealing jobs.
Interesting.
They almost did not let me in because of it.
And they
you they, have been starting some shit up
I
there.
I am.
Yes. Because you brought your animals and
yep,
they
didn't.
You're not leaving. If you're bringing animals.
Nervous, yep. And then there was a whole thing, like, and then they had to specify that I also wasn't allowed to take any educational courses while I was here. And I was like, I'm too poor for that. Like, who's going to school these days? So
in this economy?
Higher education as an adult in this economy? Dude, I need to do that, actually.
But. It actually makes me laugh because I know these guys who are, like, going to start taking classes in, like, forest rangery things just because they have the GI Bill. And they're like,
I don't blame them.
And I was just like, I don't blame them either. And I'm, but like, I'm glad you're like, he has a degree in everything already. So it's just like, I'm like, you silly, silly boy. And then Weasel.
Dude,
just,
if I had access to a scholarship, like even if it was just like a 75% cover scholarship, I'd go back to school.
Oh,
hell
I
yeah.
would.
I'd get another degree.
You would have to pay me what I'm making to go back to school.
I'm actually pretty blessed because the company that I work for, they'll actually pay for my college. So
Ooh, nice. I
should really do that because I've been toying with the idea of going into broadcasting.
Oh, you should. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd love to do that and they will pay for it.
But
now, here's the problem. I'm lazy.
You're lazy. Also,
lazy as fuck.
By the time you graduated, you would be like,
I would be 96 years old.
Like, exactly.
Like, hey, that's the opposite of 69, so we're good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're right. You're right.
Yeah, I'm with you.
See, but the problem with 96 is that the balls are way more saggy at that point, and so they like you're just like. Bleh.
You can just wear patches. Like, just let them.
I don't even know if this is how.
What if you used them instead of like you know cucumbers that people put on their eyes to like.
People have already done that, Ken.
Somebody's balls, their saggy balls, to treat their under eye circles. You know what? I've got really bad under eye circles. Anybody?
So if somebody needs balls. So are you inviting some balls?
Just and when you get weird smells that are permanently in your nostrils, don't blame it to you. I mean,
that's disgusting.
I don't even know if I finished formally introducing Brian besides
talking
about
it.
How
a really fun adventure, though. It was fantastic.
This has been a good ride. Do I have to pay for fuel?
No, this is all fueled on ADHD. This is fueled on ADHD.
Murder Moves, powered by ADHD.
Even without Josh here, it is fueled by ADHD. I still think it's the funniest thing ever when we had Zeke on here, and Zeke's like, okay, let's talk about the movie. And we're like, but ADHD, Zeke. ADHD.
We watched a movie?
We watched a movie? Yeah, isn't that a podcast also, Brian?
Yeah, it is. Are they still part of the Slashing Cast Network?
We watched a movie? Yeah. No, I don't even know. I think I was trying to... I was trying to think of your new podcast name, Brian, and I was.
We're gonna make you watch.
That's what it was.
Yeah,
I'm bad with
Ooh,
names.
Ooh, I like the idea of this.
Yeah, we what we do is me Feels and like my a... buddy Isaiah, we force my best friend Warren to watch horror movies that he's never seen because he's never seen any of them really, and we record it. We have video of the reactions of him watching these things, and then we talk about it afterwards, whether he liked it or not. And we have a good time doing it. It's a lot of fun.
What is his current like ratio on movies you've made him watch?
Most of them he's actually really enjoyed.
What has
the only one that the only one he didn't like, he just absolutely did not like it, was The Shining. And I think that's actually hilarious.
Well, I am offended.
Well,
but to be fair, did he not like it because he had read the book previously?
No, he's never read any of that shit either.
Well, then his opinion's invalid. Other than the fact that it's Kubrick, and Kubrick is kind of hit and miss.
It's a long movie. If you don't like long
movies. It's a long movie, but I think that I've said this before on my previous podcast that I think that movie's a little overrated. While I still enjoy it and I I respect it for what it's for what it did to the genre and everything. I just it can be a bit fucking boring, and I think that was the big problem that it had was that it's the very definition of like a slow burn.
Yeah,
I agree with you. And like
it does finally get going, and once it does finally get going, it really is like balls to the fucking wall at the end.
Oh yeah,
but it is a bit of a chore to get to that point.
Yeah, I agree.
He's since he's never watched horror movies, and he's a bit younger. I mean, everybody's a bit younger than me. I mean, fuck, Jesus is younger than me.
But, 96.
but yeah, he you know, it's a it might be a generational thing too, where they've been kind of you know, horror movies have gotten pretty intense,
fast.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, and so it's definitely there's definitely a generational thing there too, though. So I don't know. I completely understand why he didn't really like that movie, but that's pretty much the only one that he just did not like.
I mean, Kubrick's not everybody's cup of tea immediately. No, so like you could start a Kubrick movie and be like, nope, don't like this at all. Yeah. Not interested. And it's
but
just,
if you don't like A Clockwork Orange, you can go fuck yourself.
That's right.
You know,
that movie's fucking
get your shit and get out.
You know, you talk about like what horror is now, and it still makes me laugh because all the fucking dick wagging that people had for Terrifier 2, and I'm like, this motherfucker could have made this movie an hour and 45 minutes long, and for some reason decided making it 2 hours and 15 minutes long was a superior idea, and everyone's like, oh my god, this is the greatest movie ever made. Blah, blah. And I like Terrifier 2. It's just like the acting that the idea that movie is like the perfect horror movie makes me want to fucking vomit.
Oh, that couldn't be further from the truth. And I went and saw that in the theaters. And while I certainly enjoyed it and I had a lot of fun with it, he could have cut 30 minutes out of it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It is like 2 hours, and I'm eating a cough drop and like trying to learn English at the same time. 2 hours and 15 minutes long. Insanity. It is the biggest, like, I don't know how to fucking edit myself at all. And it's just like,
and here's the question.
Yes.
Skidamarink. What did you think, Brian?
What did I think of Skidamarink? Mm-hmm. I'm probably in the minority, but I actually really enjoyed it.
I think you're in the majority.
It was nice having you, Brian. We'll be speaking later.
Yeah, that's fine. Do I understand why most everybody really doesn't like it? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because it's not everybody's cup of tea at all. But would I watch it again? There's absolutely no fucking reason ever to. That's the problem with that movie, is there's just zero rewatchability with it. But I appreciated the tension that I felt when I was watching it, waiting for something to happen. I really loved that feeling because that's what I love about horror.
Yeah.
But do I think the payoff was worth it? Honestly, probably not. But I don't think it's garbage like most people seem to think it is. I actually
think there's merit in it. I think that it's definitely for a particular audience. I'm not that audience. I have a friend who does a podcast, and he also was like, you know, I sat there and I waited for 30 minutes and nothing happened. And then, you know, oh, something tiny happened. So I stuck around, and he was like, and I waited another 30 minutes. Was about to turn it up. Oh, something tiny happened. Stuck around. And he goes, it was such a waste of time. And I was like, I gave up after 30 minutes. I watched the first 30 minutes twice and was like, fuck this noise. I'm out.
That movie reminds me of a much better movie called Jacob's Ladder.
Oh, dude. Sure, yeah. Jacob's
Ladder.
I've never seen it. Remake. But I've had that movie spoiled for me so many times on videos on YouTube that, like, I don't know. I still probably should watch it at some point, but I know the whole twist.
That's kind of what Skinamarink, in a way, kind of is. Because what we're watching is, I believe, anyway, I could be wrong. This is just my interpretation of the movie, is I believe that those are images and experiences of a kid that is going through a very traumatic experience. Because a lot of the dialogue, you got to kind of really listen to it. It's like, you know, one of the kids falls down the stairs, and they're really fucked up, and they're really hurt.
Yeah.
And I think that this is basically their fever dream of the traumatic experience that they've experienced, that they've gone through is mm-hmm. causing all this shit.
Yeah.
Could be wrong, but that's just kind of my interpretation of it.
Yeah.
And that's why I thought of Jacob's Ladder when I was watching the movie. But I could be so far from the fucking truth.
I mean, but how you viewed it is that matters, right? Like
I think
the same reason I didn't like Mad God, I lost Mad God, even though the same kind of thing, because of no dialogue the whole movie, but like just mm-hmm. following this in like crazy visuals aren't enough to keep me going in a movie and to keep me like enthralled with a movie. Josh loved that movie, even though it was because of the fucking visuals and stuff like that. But Mad God doesn't have any dialogue. It's the clay animation movie that took the guy like 30 years to make.
Yeah.
You know, but I like it. The lack of like storytelling and just visuals were just like, it's like watching an extended Windows screensaver kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So I was like, this is not for me. And I understand why people like it, but, you know, it's not whatever, though. You know, it's funny, though, because that, you know, it makes me, when you were talking about Skinnamarink, I think it kind of figures why you picked the movie you picked, because I kind of feel like this movie has that waiting for things to happen for, like, that, like, tension for the mm-hmm. second half of the movie, especially. But I'll get, when we get into it more, I have more opinions. But, okay, before we dive into that, though, I have to say, Ken, I know I'm not going to ask you what you've been watching because I know what you've been watching. How's Fallout?
Oh, yeah.
It was so good. I can't wait to watch it again. It was so good.
I started
so
it.
So fucking good. I got the set design in that show. Phenomenal. The story is great. There are a lot of people upset about a particular game's direction that was like kind of skimmed over but also kind of altered in the show without spoiling anything. Mm-hmm. However, there is a big nod to it coming, so I am really curious about how they're gonna do it, but oh, so good.
I'm loving it.
So good.
I've only hit two episodes and I've really enjoyed those two episodes. It's like
it gets so much better. Yeah. Oh, I finished it and like was crying. I was so happy.
I've only got a couple left.
Dude, I don't even know the ghoul who will always be Shane from
Walton Goggins.
He'll always be Shane from The Wire to me, because
you know, when they casted him, I was like, he does not make any sense for Fallout. I do not like him. He gives me the creeps. Like, I don't like him. He kills it.
Yeah, he's so good. He's so good.
Yeah.
Dude needs to shave his head permanently because hot damn.
He does a good job of playing a creep, because he's also a creep on Invincible, because he plays the boss character, the CIA kind of.
He played in Justified too. Did you ever watch Justified?
No.
Timothy Oliphant?
I never finished The Wire, or not The Wire, The Shield, and he was the asshole that like turned on, was he was like one of the cops on this team and turns on his own team and like throws a grenade.
That's
in the
one with the guy that played Ben Grimm in it.
Yep,
right? I've never seen The Shield.
Okay. It's real
Michael
good.
Chiklis?
Yeah, Michael Chiklis. Michael Chiklis, and
I've seen a couple of episodes and that's it.
It was one of those shows that I started watching during college. And I'm like, oh, this is really good. And then like I got like they leave you on one of the seasons with like, oh, we're gonna kill one of the favorite characters, and it's just like, oh, you know, I'm not gonna watch the show anymore. Nope. So Ken, do you have anything about that show? Then did you have any complaints about it?
That I wasn't involved. I mean, there's like little things here and there, but nothing that really stands out. And then like anything that I was really hoping for, that I was like, oh, they didn't bring it up. The end brings it. The gulper is really kind of weird. I think the CGI on that was a little odd, but I thought it was great.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it.
What is the black kid from the Brotherhood? I know him from something, and I'm trying to figure out where I know him.
You talking about Maximus?
Yeah, Maximus. What was he? What has he been?
Have you seen him in?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out.
He looks similar to the dude that played in Ant-Man and Wasp. And
oh, yeah, he Jonathan looks like.
Why does Maximus in the Brotherhood of Steel look so familiar?
Yeah. I'm like, what have I seen this kid in?
He's got a similar look to Jonathan Majors.
That they do a really good job of making you not like that kid like right away. I mean, he's a Brotherhood of Steel guy, right? So you're not really supposed to like him, but
right.
I'm just like, yeah. Like I said, I'm only two episodes in. What, there's eight episodes total, right? So like,
correct.
Yeah, I'm really digging it too. So I am also really digging it. Anything else you got? Have you been watching anything, Brian, yourself besides Fallout?
Yeah, just Fallout. I'm going through Cheers for the 48th time, roughly.
Damn.
And then Frasier probably for the 50th time.
Dude.
Yeah, I was watching Seinfeld the other day and I was like, hell yeah. But I've been watching Food Wars.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not an anime person and I actually like it, but.
Dude, I was watching this YouTube channel called Legal Eagle where he does really interesting things about legal things happening, but I watched it right before we started recording. It was him and this Japanese director or Japanese lawyer talking about the Phoenix Wright anime series, and they were like judging it on how realistic it was from lawyers. That's what it just reminded me of, and it made me laugh. So
what have you been watching, Rod?
Just X-Men 97. That shit made my butt cry, and
oh man, I need to
that last to episode that.
I've heard it's so good. I need that to watch it.
Yeah, you should be watching X-Men 97. It is,
yeah.
They took the old animation where, like, if you go watch that now, it's so slow because the action isn't really much action because of the animation, right? But now it's like they have Cyclops, like, lasering around everywhere. Jesus Christ, man. I'm a mess.
Boy, you are a mess.
I am.
I love you, man.
But the show has been really good. So I was watching that, and I don't think much else. I slept most of the weekend because of this cold kicking my ass. So, and I watched this movie, so let's talk about that. And yes, we watched The Last Voyage of the Demeter from 2023, right?
I believe so.
I have to say, my biggest issue with this movie is that I don't think this movie ever had a very fair chance to like really be successful.
The budget and stuff is really interesting. We'll get there.
I don't know how many people even knew it was from a part of Dracula, the novel. And then if you knew it, it's very much like, oh, I know what's going to happen. I know the ending. You know that Dracula gets out. Mm-hmm. So it's that thing where it's like, it's the thing where you go, it's kind of like going in. I mean, you could have things like Rogue One, right? Be successful when you know that like whatever comes out of something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't even think they advertised this movie very well. Like, and I don't know if that was a, like, they didn't know how to, like, I don't know, man. It's weird how it kind of feels like they let this movie, like, go out to die. And
I think I tend to agree. My issues with the movie, while I actually, as a whole, I, for the most part, I actually really like this movie.
Yeah.
But I think that they should have completely kept the fact that it was Dracula a secret.
Yeah.
They shouldn't have advertised that in the trailer at all. Yeah. I understand why they probably did, because they wanted to round people up to get into this movie. And then the other issue that I have with this movie is I think they humanized Dracula too much, because in my opinion, they had an opportunity to make this movie be the vampire version of Alien.
Yeah.
And because Alien, well, you kind of like Alien a little bit. That movie is, well, we all know Alien's a fucking masterpiece. It's pretty obvious. This literally could have been Alien on a boat with a vampire. And they could have made Dracula super fucking nihilistic and animalistic and taking all the any kind of humanity, air quote humanity, out of him and just made him a straight fucking monster. And I think that it would have been a better movie.
That being said, I
still do enjoy this movie. There's a lot of things I really love about this movie.
I do like it a lot. Why I said that out loud is because it was one of those things going into like seeing it for the first time. Like I wish I saw it for the first time like last year, but it was just that it's that thing where you, when you know the outcome of a film,
mm-hmm.
So I was watching Chris, what's his name? The guy who does
Chris Stuckman.
Yeah, Stuckman. His review of Abigail the other day, and he mm-hmm. goes, because he's like talking about like the first half of the movie, they don't know that Abigail's a vampire, and so like when you're when you know things ahead of the other characters, it makes the audience feel it like puts this, the audience in a weird position,
right?
And this movie kind of has that thing where like you know it's Dracula the entire time, you know what's going to happen, you know that like, and then they do the whole like they show the ship, like I think that's another I don't think they should have done the whole like ship crashing at the beginning of the film. I think that it makes it even worse. You're like you're the fact that you don't like the fact that they show that the ship never crashes or it never sinks and it just crashes on shore. I think that's a problem, and I don't know why they did that either, because I guess it's because they found the captain's log and they used it for whatever. But like, I don't know. Those are the couple things that I'm like, it just from a decision making, I'm like, I don't know, because you're right. This is a very much a, it's that confined space, just like Alien, where you're stuck in the space with this monster.
Yeah.
And it could be fucking horrifying. And they do, that's one of those things about this movie that they do, they make it like you're, it's a pretty freaky setup when you have, you know, they're just like, oh, these people can't do anything. And although I still find it funny because the whole, you know, the ending, you can't. So couldn't Anna have said something during this movie and go, why don't we go? They only tried to go after him at night. I'm like, why didn't you try to fucking go take out his coffin in the middle of the day?
Yeah.
I've never understood why that's a trope that's never like explored. Like why just, oh, well, he's sleeping, so let's
They do
him
it in
time.
The Lost Boys, damn it.
Yeah.
The Frog that's Brothers true. go in the middle of the fucking day.
Yep.
And they kill fucking Bill S. Preston Esquire.
Yep. They do, but the thing with that is like they even saw people start melting in the sunlight, and they still don't go, well, maybe if we tried to, you know, like mess with them during the day, we could, you know, kill him, like, you know. And it's just like, but that's the whole problem, is that when you have a predetermined outcome of a story, when you take it from where this comes from, it just it takes away a lot of like your decisions to make a creepy film, right? And like you do stuff like that, and it's just like, man. And I like the cast of this film. The motherfucker from Game of Thrones is great. The Black Doctor character is great. And then
Corey Hawkins, he's fantastic. David Dasmakian is so good in this movie.
Yeah, dude, he's in that.
I love him. I think he's such a good actor.
He's the one who was in just in the Late Night with the Devil, right? The
yes, sir. Yeah.
I haven't seen that.
Yet. Oh, I want to
see it
that.
So bad. We don't have a movie theater here. The closest one is 2.5 hours away.
2.5 hours. Oh, that's even further than the Walmart. Oh my gosh.
And
you need fmovies dot taxi or whatever. Those pirate sites.
We're not
promoting pirate sites here.
There's Magical Plex that has lots of magical movies on it, but it still has, which by the way, already has King Kong and versus Godzilla on it. And I'm like, interesting.
Do we have Late Night with the Devil on there? Because
I assume so. Because it's it's a Shudder film.
It
is. I think it is a Shudder film.
Yeah, it was going to be released this month or something. That's right.
Yeah.
I think that and you know what's funny? You said that they humanized Dracula in this movie. I think that they did the opposite. I think that they took the humanity away from him, which is one of the things I dug, because they
right, that's why I kind of used the air quotes when I was describing that. He shouldn't have even spoken in that movie to me, in my opinion. Like, because he talks and shit,
it's mimicky,
they show
but
his face a lot.
I
just, and to me, even that little bit was just too much for me. I genuinely think they should have treated him in the same regard that they handled like the alien in the first Alien movie.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have seen him hardly at all until the very end.
It seemed like a...
That big reveal could have been fucking amazing.
Yeah. I think that they did it like where it was like very much like species or something like that, or like, you know, mimic or something trying to mimic a human being, mm-hmm. which I dug. The problem is like, because like when you say human, giving Dracula humanity, I think of Gary Oldman, right? I think of like, you know, Bram mm-hmm. Stoker's Dracula, that film, and you know.
Oh yeah, that's to like the nth level. Like,
yeah.
Yeah,
where it's very much that he's like this suave gentleman, and like in this movie, it's more like he's more like Nosferatu and more like a monster. Because yeah. they even did like, I see more and more vampire movies lately doing the thing where they don't even give vampires fangs; they give them just like shark teeth, basically. And yeah. this was another vampire movie that did that. And
yeah, I can't wait to see what Robert Eggers does. For his vampire, because he, you know, he's got Nosferatu coming out this year
on Christmas.
Oh yeah,
I want to say Pennywise plays.
Yep, yeah, Bill Skarsgård,
or the Crow, Eric Draven, whatever the fuck you want to call him.
Dude,
I love Bill Skarsgård.
Yeah, I do just, too. He's a wonderful actor. Oh.
I just rewatched The Crow because friend of the
isn't that movie just perfect,
dude? You know what's funny about that movie? I forgot how not. That movie is so like PG-13 violent most of the way through it. It's like,
it really is.
It's like,
it's, I didn't get to watch it until, well, I mean, I didn't watch it until recently because I was told all the time that it was like not good and just really? Overhyped.
Who lied to
and
you?
I was like, oh, so we watched it in the Discord and it was so good. I was like, what the fuck have I been missing out on?
Who the fuck lied to you? Do you need me to slap them?
No.
I will. Dude,
it's so funny with that because friend of the show, Katie Peters, has her podcast. Katie hasn't seen that. And the first episode of this new season she's doing was The Crow. And when she figured out, she's like started searching if they were brother and sister, or there was just some, and they're like half brother and sister. And she's like, and I'm just like, dude,
wait, what?
The bad guy and the chick who plays with eyeballs are like brother and sister.
Yeah.
Sorry, I wasn't describing very well. You probably thought I meant Eric Draven and
I did, and I was very confused.
I could tell that you did. You're like, what,
dude? I think the new one looks cool, and I think that it looks ultra violent, and I think it looks like it's gonna be fun. But like, people are very upset about it. But
people are.
I'm gonna
about
watch
anything
it.
Existing. Is
yeah.
The thing.
I'm gonna watch it, and I hope it's really good. But I will say the trailers honestly haven't sold me because it just looks like John Wick 5 to me.
And, you know what I said? It looks like what I kept comparing it. I was like, John Wick meets Deadpool, because of the regeneration powers. You know,
right? I'll watch it because it's Bill Skarsgård for one, and honestly, it's a Crow movie. And I've seen all of them. There's only one good one, but I have seen all of them.
I was going to say, there's a lot of bad Crow movies, right?
The shame in that. I know we're supposed to be talking about Last Voyage of the Demeter, but this is your podcast, and you do this all the time anyway. The story for The Crow, City of Angels, the story is honestly so fucking good. It's just a shame that it turned into an absolute shit show, because that movie's just not good. It's pretty bad. But the story at its core is honestly really so fucking good, because, you know, at the end of the day, it's basically a love story between a father and their child, you know, and that kind of love being powerful enough to bring him back. It's actually really, 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 really beautiful.
Yeah.
And then they shit all over the movie on accident. And then they threw in like a strange love like trope with the girl who is grown up girl from part one, which they didn't need to do at all. It's like they completely mishandled the potential of that story. And it's just too bad, because The Crow, City of Angels actually could have been really good if they gave a shit about it.
It was another. It was another. They were just trying to make money off of the fucking.
They
name,
just. That's just all like, it was. Was a complete cash cow. I remember watching that in the theater, and wanting to walk out 30 minutes in. And my friend that I went to watch it with made me stay. I haven't spoken to him since.
Fair.
I've never seen any of the sequels to that movie. It like it was. It was one of those things.
Oh,
where
you
like,
haven't seen the Bad Edward for a long one either.
Oh no.
Yeah, Edward Furlong plays a crow, plays in a crow movie, and he's the crow.
Edward
it's
Furlong
It's just
is...
as good as it sounds.
Who? Okay, now I know the name, and now I'm not putting...
I think it's Salvation. Oh, Edward Furlong? He's my favorite character. He's the reason I love
Terminator
2.
Brian hates Terminator 2 because of Edward Furlong.
I don't like Terminator 2. I'm very much in the minority, obviously.
No, you're not. You're not the minority. You're the only person who doesn't like
it. Yeah, it's got a 99% on Rotten Tomatoes because of me. I'm the only person that doesn't like Terminator 2. But you will be proud of me, man. I've seen E.T. finally.
Nice. Did you like E.T.?
I just watched E.T. for the first time, it was less than 2 years ago, I think.
That movie, man, yeah. I don't think I've watched it since I was a kid, but it's iconic.
It's really good.
Yeah.
I know. To the surprise of no one, E.T.'s a really good movie.
It's Steven Spielberg at his prime, man. I mean, that was Steven Spielberg when he was at his superpower, when he was in the 80s shooting like masterpiece after masterpiece, man. So, yeah. Without changing
before you jump in too far, I just want to bring up the budget for this movie. And we were talking about how it bombed pretty bad. They spent their budget was $45 million.
Wow.
It grossed $21.7 million.
So it's not even just a bomb, it's like a big bomb.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. Dude, that's
they had opportunity here.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I think they were just like, oh, horror people will come see this. But it's like, that's a massive, all those new Halloween movies were $15, $20 million budgets. I think the $11 million was at least one of them. The budgets weren't nowhere near that. And but that's the problem. Right. You're shooting a boat movie. And boat movies are expensive because you have stages with all the effects and the water and all that shit. And you go, and I don't think they advertise this thing worth a shit, man.
I don't think so either. I remember seeing ads, but I only remember seeing them in theaters. I don't remember seeing them anywhere else.
Yeah, they didn't
market
this movie very well.
They could have done it so much better and made great money on it, but it just...
Mm-hmm. And I think this movie is a lot better than the results.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
considering, okay, I'm in the, I've said this fucking 10 times already on this podcast. I'm in the minority here. I liked Halloween Ends. Okay.
I liked Halloween Ends too.
Okay. So you and I are in the minority. Ken, did you like Halloween Ends?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's fucking cool. All three of us like that. That's odd. That's actually a bad sign. Something's bad about to happen. Three people should not be in the same place that like Halloween, and something awful's gonna happen. That movie obviously got, for the most part, pretty kind of beat up. It made $103 million and it opened on Peacock at the same time.
Yep.
And they couldn't squeak more than $22 million out of this movie, which is, in my opinion, it's probably a better movie than Halloween Ends.
Well, the thing is, too, they advertised it like it was, it felt like, this movie feels like a middle-of-the-pandemic type movie, you know what I mean? And it wasn't. It came out...
No.
Way after the end of the pandemic, or not the end, but like things were way more opened up, but they didn't advertise it worth a shit. And it's just I don't think the title helps. like the last voyage of the Demeter, because like it, we're talking about how, you know, because if you know the book, all blah, 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 and this is just a section of that. Mm-hmm. But people who don't know that probably had no fucking clue what this movie was about, like just from a title, right? Like it's not something like, it's not like something that gives you any idea unless you have context, right? And then it, and then the trailers, like you didn't have, like, I don't know, man, it's just like,
and they just didn't market this movie very well. It was really bad.
Yeah.
It's one of, you know, it's a missed opportunity, and it's just it, honestly, this just plays into the basically the fucking curse of the Universal monsters.
Yeah.
Because yes, this is a Universal film. Gene, go figure. It's got fucking Dracula in it.
Yeah.
But they haven't the Universal horror films have just not done well, with except, the exception of The Invisible Man.
Yeah. Yep, that's the only one.
The Mummy was a colossal shit show.
Dude.
The only thing good about that movie was Sofia Boutella.
Dude, I always say that the first two-thirds of the movie are terrible, but it's fun terrible. Like, it's fun terrible for the first two.
It's a goofy, bad action movie.
And but then that third act where they try to start up the monster universe is so terrible and so off-putting that it just it ruins
it
everything that happened before.
Way too fucking hard. That movie tried way too fucking hard. And then of course they had the Wolfman movie with Benicio del Toro that I actually like, but nobody else likes. And I get it. I kind of understand. But I actually like that movie. I think it's much better than people give it credit for.
I've never seen it. And it's one of those movies that I think came out when I was in college or something like that. And like, it was just like, you just heard like, oh, this movie is getting shit on real bad by everyone. Yeah. And like, especially
people didn't like Dracula Untold either.
Yeah. Dude, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Vampire movies aren't very, I don't feel like they take chances with them. Like, most of them are Dracula and most of them take that same fucking spin. None of them bring enough to it.
I liked
just
Renfield.
I like
Renfield. That it's different, but I really enjoyed Renfield.
I loved Renfield. I thought it was super fun, super campy, super silly. It was great.
It definitely
it
didn't take
bombed.
Itself seriously.
Yeah, and it fucking bombed.
Yeah, I mean, it's another one. Like, it's a horror comedy. Like, comedies, man. Like, comedies are such a, I mean, comedies in the theater right now, like, most comedies go direct to streaming services, right? Like, it's like,
seems like it.
That did you have you watched that Snoop Dogg movie, the where he's like teaching Pee Wee football? That's like on Amazon Prime.
No,
the dude, it was really, it was like the little like the Little Giants, but with like Snoop Dogg and so way more N words. But like, I thought it was good and I thought it was funny, but. It's another like an R-rated comedy that goes direct to a streaming service and doesn't ever get like, you know, it's, it just came out a couple months ago. It's,
I didn't even know this existed, but now I'm going to make it my mission to watch it.
It's Snoop Dogg and Mike Epps. And I don't know who else is in it, but like he plays like a former NFL player who like gets stuck to like, well, I mean,
say Snoop Dogg plays a former NFL player.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay. Those are words that I didn't expect to come together in a sentence.
They did, right. They did. But
that's
I like
that was
I,
not on my bingo card.
I thought it was funny, and I thought it was, you know, it's just like. But most things that come out like are direct to DVD or direct to streaming bullshit, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the whole thing with the Joker guy, Todd Phillips, right? And like because he made like those Hangover movies, and then he got mad at everyone and made the Joker, and now he's making the Joker too, but. Yeah, I don't know. But it's...
The Joker movie was a better performance than movie.
Yeah,
so it's
going
to be interesting to see what they do with the second one. I think Lady Gaga will do a fine job.
Yeah,
I think she's a pretty good actor.
So, yeah, like at first I was really angry about it. And I was like, no, this is silly. She shouldn't. But then I got to thinking about which Joker we're looking at. And I was like, okay, this is going to be hopefully amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be... Probably the same thing. It'll be a couple good, really, really great performances in an average movie. Because I think that's the Joker at its core was just an average film with a fantastic performance by.
Yeah,
I mean, that will get you things, because, like, look at The Whale. That was, like, the whole thing about that movie, right? It was just Brendan Fraser did really good. Had a really good performance.
That movie isn't really all that great, but I bawled watching that movie because Brendan Fraser was so fucking good in it.
And everyone loves Brendan Fraser. Everyone loves Brendan Fraser.
He's a national treasure.
He is. He's a good boy.
Really wonderful year for the Oscars as a whole, because first of all, you had Brendan Fraser's comeback. That whole fucking thing was amazing.
Yep.
But then you also throw the fact that Ke-Hi Kwan came out of nowhere from the last thing he did with any remote amount of relevancy in Hollywood was fucking Encino Man.
Yep.
And he only was in that movie for all of like maybe 7 minutes.
Yep.
You know, cause he played just a bit character in that movie. And then this guy comes out of nowhere and he snatches himself a fucking gold Oscar. Yep. And I think he won a Golden Globe as well.
Yep.
How fucking cool was that that year? That was amazing. That was fucking amazing.
I mean, when you have
both of their, I was bawling the whole time watching.
when you have people's stories like that, like, because Hollywood often has a bunch of shitty people in it, right? And so it's like when you don't have shitty people and the good things happening to them, it's a good thing. I don't think they release it, but I would really like to know how much they spent on marketing for this film, because that feels like the biggest problem that was. I think before this movie was even coming out and people were predicting it was going to bomb because of the things like it kind of seems like they just put it out to put it out, and which is kind of crazy because Universal is the one. No, it's Warner Brothers is the one that doing all the real shitty things with movies now, right? But I don't know, man. Well, they have the Wolfman coming out here pretty soon. That Lee did.
I have faith in that because it's Lee Whannell.
Yep.
I mean, he did The Invisible Man, and that was a really, really good movie. It was more of a, it was kind of a, I think it's a really, really good movie, but less of a good Invisible Man story, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because he was already a monster.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when you really watch like the original Invisible Man, it was the ability, it was his invisible ability that turned him into a monster, or brought the monster out of him that probably was already there, so to speak. But this guy was already a piece of shit, and then you all of a sudden give this guy the ability to become invisible, and he just became a bigger piece of shit.
What was that? So, what was the Kevin Bacon version of it? What the fuck was
Hollow
that?
Man, baby.
Hollow Man, yeah. Where you get to see some Kevin Bacon dong. You get to see
some computer generated Kevin Bacon.
Kevin Bacon. Was never shy about showing his penis off on the screen, though. I mean,
no, he showed off his Willy Wang in Wild Things.
Yeah, Wild Things, man. That was
a wild little thing.
One of those horny teenage boy movies that like they completely targeted it.
Yeah, you put Denise Richards and Neve Campbell kissing each other in a movie, you're gonna get a lot of people in movie theaters.
Yeah. Are you looking to see how much they spend on marketing? I don't think they get those numbers out. I don't know.
Can't find it.
Yeah.
That's what I was looking. I've been through like 5 websites.
I don't think they ever listed. It's just like, it's one of those things where they keep those are like Hollywood numbers that are very much like you release those and then you get like castrated live on the internet.
They say that you double what the production budget was, and that's the real number. I don't believe that in this case.
There's no way they spent $40 million budgeting.
No, I don't
marketing this movie.
Possible.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. I was looking.
They spent $86 in a case of Natty Light on promoting this fucking movie.
I mean, it
did really
like,
well in France and Mexico.
I bet the title.
Did it really?
I wonder if the title was better.
The so domestically the gross was $13 million. France was 1 million. Mexico was 1.5 million.
Wow.
But yeah, it didn't do so great other places.
I mean, again, when nobody knows what it is and nobody like tries it, and you don't even run trailers. Like if you would run trailers with a vampire, maybe, or even like I have the image I have up for the poster it shows Dracula on in his like very Nosferatu form, but I don't think this is an official poster. I think it was just like a screen grab where they put the title of the movie on it for something. And like, it feels like it was one of those things that it was just like this movie had every card stacked against it the entire time, you know?
Yeah, I think you're kind of right.
It's like, I think there were a lot of talented people, you know, involved in this. And
yeah, absolutely. I agree. Just the cast alone is really pretty strong. And the movie has really strong performances in it. Yeah. I mean, we mentioned Corey Hawkins earlier. He's really good in this. And so is David Dasmakian.
Yep.
It's really performed really well.
Woody Norman, he was in Cobwebs and he did a really great job in it.
He's great. And honestly, like, well, I don't know. Do you guys want to spoil anything? No,
I mean, this is a movie that came out
20 years ago, some shit. I don't even know. but yeah, with like his whole death was fucking awful. like Toby when he dies. And that's the one of the things that this movie does that's actually done really, really well. And that's why I say it was a bummer that it didn't do better, because they actually developed these fucking characters in this movie. You actually give a shit about most of these guys. So their lives mean something. So when they do inevitably get eight essentially, it actually feels something when it happens.
Except for the guy who was like one of the last guys to get killed, who I kept going, oh, this guy's still alive. The guy who was up in the with the gun, where they were trying to fight Dracula at night, because that was a smart idea. But that guy, I'm like, this guy has had.
Are you talking about the guy? I think you're talking about David Asmakian's character.
Was that who? Maybe no. The other guy
that was with him.
Yeah. See, you don't even remember he was up there. That was the guy I'm talking about. It was like completely like, I think he was the whorehouse guy, but I'm not completely sure.
Right. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but I mean the main characters, you know, obviously. Yeah. Because you have your horror movies where people get whacked off that they
they get
people get jerked off into oblivion, but
Hey, man, I want to get jerked off into oblivion. Come on.
Yeah, you have those that you don't care about, of course, obviously. But, I mean, our main players, like David Dasmakian's character, like you get connected to these guys, actually, because they actually wrote characters in here that you actually fucking care about. That's why it is such a bummer that this movie bombed as bad as it did, because I think it's so much better than the numbers reflect.
Yeah, it deserved at least to make a fucking its money back. Like it.
Yeah,
it,
like, at the very least. Yeah. At the very fucking least.
But like when you, it just shows, man. Like if you don't give like promotions for a movie, like people aren't, and then you have a title like this that is hard to distinguish. Like I was talking about earlier, it's people are gonna go, what's playing at the movie theater, and they're gonna see The Last Voyage of the Demeter and have no fucking clue what that is, and not go see it. You know what I mean? So. And not everyone looks at things on like the Alamo's page or, you know, app or something like I do, you know, and just like, yeah, I don't know, man.
The good news is the audience for the most part really likes this movie.
Yeah.
Because it is chilling at a 75% audience score. And honestly, the critics weren't that hostile about it. It's pretty much 50-50.
It was never released in the United Kingdom.
Oh, it never did? Mm-mm. That's wild. Why?
That's a pretty big market. Yeah.
It doesn't.
People say they don't know.
Wow. That's fucking strange.
I think I heard something about that, and I think the title has something to do with that, and like then what distribution and whatnot. And I don't know. Weird things. It maybe has something to do with Hammer. Hammer's still around, aren't they? Somewhere.
Hammer Films?
Yeah. I don't know. Do they exist?
I thought you were talking about MC Hammer.
No. Can't touch this. Yeah. I don't know what I'm fucking doing.
Wow. Those were sounds that you made.
They were definitely sounds coming out of a congested sleep deprived, fucking sick brain that my brain is like, it's cooking slowly. Like my brain is like Toby's brain, but like when he was caught on fire there at the end of the movie. Dude,
oh, poor Toby.
That whole scene with Toby,
he had
like
a bad trip, like really, like honestly.
Yeah, his dog gets
honestly
Huckleberry. His dog gets
to
like,
say that to say that anybody had a good trip on that fucking boat. Would be a lie, except unless Dracula. I mean, he was fucking. He was basically just like that was the golden corral for him.
He was all you could
fucking. He was having a blasty blast, but but poor Toby, man. He had to, you know, his dog died.
Then he sets his grandpa on fire. I mean,
yeah, he sets his grandpa on fire before he gets eaten in the fucking ocean.
Yeah, dude, that scene where he's in the fucking locked up and Dracula's coming after him and they're just trying to get in there and you just keep, you're like, oh, yeah, they're definitely gonna save Toby. Like, there's Toby's getting munched down like a Dorito. Yeah, dude,
I'm telling you, like, I love that sequence. It's very intense. It's really good. This movie is it really is a lot better than the numbers reflect. It really is.
I think it builds up tension very well for that. Mm-hmm. Like as soon as people start getting taken out, it's that thing where it's just like because of that like thing. It can't even like think of things like. Like Underwater is another movie that like you have that whole under, you know, you're stuck in the space and shit's happening. And that movie didn't do great either. Completely undeserved because that movie was fucking awesome.
I do understand why they let this director make this movie though. Because
who's the director?
Andre Overdahl. I'm probably butchering his last name and I apologize, but he directed the fucking Autopsy of Jane Doe.
God, I love that movie.
Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. And those are bangers in my opinion. He also directed Troll Hunter in 2. Troll Hunter's a fucking blast.
Dude, that movie is wild. That movie is crazy. It's very much like accessible horror too. You know, there's like a second one. They like made a sequel or something like that. I don't know, but like, it's just a shame because the guy knows. I mean, I think that like the Autopsy of Jane Doe is like up there for me with Hush or these movies that like no one will ever watch that have just like went and died on Netflix and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
That like, I mean, that movie is so fucking terrifying because
that's a fantastic film. Yeah. I love that movie.
It is. It's a thing that like starts somewhere and you don't ever think you're going to know where it's going to go. Mm-mm. But we need to do that sometime, Ken, for the show.
Cool.
Ken is dying from the plague.
She's on board, buddy. You got her.
I know. Now I'm trying to see if that other movie we were talking about is on a certain place that we could watch it for the podcast, because I would like to do that.
I would love to do that.
Late Night with the Devil.
Oh yeah, it's on. I think I found a copy of it.
Brian, you could come back and do that with us.
I would love to. I would come back and talk any movie with you.
Yeah.
You ever want?
Yeah. You
want
to come back next week and do that if we can get a copy of it?
Fuck yeah.
Rod. This is what we're doing.
Okay.
You're welcome.
I think it's on there, but I'm not sure. We'll do that if we can then.
Okay, cool.
Also, I think one of the whole, like, they tried to build up that they were going to kill Dracula kind of thing was a little, probably one of the weaker parts of this movie because of the, you know, again, it goes back to my previous point. You knew Dracula wasn't going to get killed in this. But I really do think that this movie was, you could tell it was fun, like, and they put a lot of heart into it, and it just like it sucks that it pooped its pants and didn't.
Now I could be wrong on this, but speaking of the love for the movie, and again, I could totally be wrong on this because it's been years since I've read Dracula, but it was based on like 5 pages from the book.
Mm-hmm. It's not very long, yeah.
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 They just basically took the captain's logs that they kind of do in this movie and they turned it into a film.
Yeah, it's like the captain's log is not even a, it's like a sub chapter.
Yeah. I mean, it's been like 20 years since I've read it, so I don't.
Yeah, it's been a long time for me as well. I think it's been 86 years for me.
Ah, yes. But yours was carved on stones.
Oh, that's.
Yeah, I read that when I was a wee young man of 33.
Oh, you asked what Brian's skincare routine was. It was.
You did.
He said, I bathed blood of virgins. Brian's a vampire. It's official. That's why.
Why do you think I wanted to talk about this movie?
Exactly.
I wanted to share my journey with how I got here.
Exactly.
This is fair.
But
we appreciate you taking the time out of your coffin to visit.
Yeah, no problem. No problem.
Your team looked phenomenal.
We could not got another 5 episodes. I got lots of time till the sun comes up.
I would die.
Actually, the way we go, we could probably only knock out one more episode.
Probably.
I would fall asleep.
Yeah, me too. I'm sitting there going, I am dying. It does suck though, because it does show that, like, even now it as I keep talking about, like, if you don't properly market these movies, and that's why, like, a lot of films that came out last year had kind of a hard time because mm-hmm. The Marvels, right? Like, people are like, I know a lot of people didn't like that movie and are getting sick of but that movie wasn't nowhere as bad as people like, and as badly as it did at the office for a Marvel movie.
Yeah, I can't imagine that movie being too awful. I mean, I'm a fan of the director, because Nia DaCosta made that film.
Yeah.
And she absolutely slayed it when she did the Candyman legacy sequel, I guess was what they kind of call that. Because that movie's amazing. It's almost a masterpiece.
I really like
it. So I can't
movie.
Imagine the Marvels being too bad. I haven't seen it, though. So
It's worth a watch, man. I thought it was funny and it had heart, which is like what I want out of a fucking Marvel movie. Like, if you're funny and you have heart, I'm on board. But, like, I don't know, man. It just shows you Hollywood's still, like, we're still at the behest of the marketing. And, like, if you don't do marketing right, then people won't go see movies. And it's like...
You got to take a page out of Smile's marketing. The guerrilla marketing worked really well for Smile, and it definitely should be utilized more frequently, I feel like.
Oh, yeah. Smile's marketing was the best marketing ever. Just having the people behind home plate just, like, being creepy as shit.
Yeah.
That shit was fucking memorable, man. So, okay. Is there anything else you want to say before we wrap up? Because Ken and I are both dying, so...
Yeah, I'm actually sweating like R. Kelly at a fucking Girl Scout meeting right now. So, because it's super, super fucking hot up in my office. I need to get
it's because you're in there.
Yeah. No.
Vampire's body runs hot.
Yeah.
That's why they moved to Alaska. 30 days a night. I don't know.
But, I just want to thank you guys for having me on. And if
I'm serious about coming back next week.
I am too. Okay, I'll talk. This is what I live for. I love fucking talking horror movies. Yep. So, and just movies in general. I love talking about movies. So yeah, I'll come back anytime you guys want.
Yeah.
Down.
I don't think Brian has any places to follow him besides his other podcast, but.
Yeah, just follow us at you just find us on, we're going to make you watch on the X. Or the tube of you, or that, you know, that there it used to be called Twitter.
I've listened to.
We got a TikTok also.
You got a TikTok. I'm bad at TikTok.
That's what all the kids watch nowadays, right? Is the TikTok
until it got banned or whatever? Until it keeps getting banned, I don't know what the fuck is gonna happen with that.
I don't know what's gonna happen with that shit. Yeah.
Well, follow Brian's shit because Brian's awesome and I love this man. Well, next week we'll try to do Late Night with the Devil if we can, and if not, we'll figure something else out. And Brian's vampire ass will come back. My brain is like rebooting mid-sentence. Okay, go to murdermoose.com and buy merch where you could get awesome merch. Go to continue.com, get all Kin's awesome stuff, her schedules and whatnot, and go find me.
That's all kinds of foobard.
Yep, find me on Twitter and Twitch at Rod_Johnson, and also go buy my book. Whee!
Please
go buy Rod's book.
Please do.
You just look my name up, but it's called The Death and Rebirth of a Human Heart. So you can check that out. So
just throw a link in the description.
I could do that also. I've been real bad at that. Yeah. Okay, guys. We will catch you guys next week. I love you, Brian. I love you, Ken.
Love you.
See you guys later.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.